saving money on your next painting project with Menards. Get a paint that combines gorgeous color and durability. Dutch Boys Platinum Plus is a paint and primer with a protective finish that guards against scuffs, spills, and stains. Get $15 off instantly on a single qualifying purchase of $100 or more on Dutch Boy and Purdy products. Now through March 8th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Raheel. I'm in Houston, along with Raheel. Oh, you're not Raheel. You're Dell. You're probably Dell. I don't know. I was thinking about Josh Allen right now. If you want to know the truth, while I was talking about you, Dell. And Lance is in Mobile, where Josh Allen is not impressing on the field. Apparently, of course, Lance. I'm not sure if Lance saw any of that because, oh, Lance. He had an incident yesterday, and that's how we begin our show this morning. Lance, what's up?
I'm doing fine. Just took something called oxycodone, which is better known as...
Oh, well, you should be up and, you know, really enthusiastic and energetic for the show today, then.
So, yeah, so here's what happened. I was walking over to get my media credential after the show. And I could just sit and make up some story, but I'm not. I'm not going to make up a story. I'm going to tell you the truth. A woman, an older woman, was outside, probably in her 80s, and she had a purse. And this guy snatched the purse off of her and started running down the street. I gave chase. I caught the guy, dragged him down, but in the process of dragging him down, tore two ligaments at the top of my instep and my foot. And then either that happened or I tripped over. Now, we don't really – the details are fuzzy. But I might have also – one of the other alternate stories that are out there, alternate endings, is that I tripped over a sidewalk, a curb that I just didn't lift my right foot enough. Tripped, started to fall forward with four scouts that were right there on the corner – and as I'm falling forward in my head, slow motion, theoretically, I'm saying, this is going to be embarrassing to fall down. But I was like, well, just run under yourself and you'll catch your balance and it'll just be an embarrassing stumble. And I kept trying to run forward and it never materialized. I wasn't able to get under my momentum. And so I made the decision as I was taking like my fifth or sixth step forward, just said, well, you just got to fall now because you're not going to just keep running like this forever. So I just fell and rolled on the right shoulder. Everything was good. The scouts go, whoa, you all right, man? And I was trying to decide, do I act like I'm really hurt to try to make sure that they take this with the proper seriousness and don't clown me? Or do I try to play it off? And I just said, all right. First thing I said was, lax agility, has issues with having weight too far forward. And they laughed. I got up. They go, you okay, man? You okay? And, yeah, I'm fine. I'm walking, and it gets a little bit, you know, it's a little bit sore. I see our friend Martin Fox, who's concierge to the world, and we start walking. He goes, hey, what's up? I said, I just fell down, and my foot's hurting a little bit. Kept walking. I'm starting to limp a little bit. He goes, man, you need to get to the hospital? I'm like, no, I'm good. I got to get to this practice. I'll push through this. It'll be all right in a second. Keep walking on it. Walk gets slower. Limp gets more pronounced. Limp gets much more pronounced. See John Hoke and Brady Hoke. Talk to them a little bit. John Hoke used to be defensive back coach for the Texans. And then Brady Hoke, of course, was head coach at Michigan for a while, his brother. And as I'm sitting there talking, I realize, man, this is starting to hurt a little more. And then I kept trying to walk on it for another 30 minutes, and then I realized, it's getting hard to walk. And I'm not sure how I'm going to continue to limp like this, like hardly able to put any pressure on my right foot and get through this day. So Martin just kept saying, dude, you got to go to the hospital. So I went upstairs and I asked about where the one would be, and they just happened to have the orthopedic group who handles the Senior Bowl, you know, any injuries. Lady was up there, and she sent me to go see them. So I drove over there, which is another good plan, is driving on the messed up foot, but I was able to do it. I don't know how else. I don't think they have Uber in Mobile, but maybe they do. I don't think anyone picks you up. So I get there. They x-ray it. They have to rule out Liz Frank injury. I'm like, oh, my God. Liz Frank, that's what got Matt Schaub. I can't have Matt Schaub injury or John will kill me. And, of course, you know, I have to get these, and it's just getting, now my foot's getting numb, and I'm thinking, Doc, am I going to lose this foot? You know, because that's just how I think. And he's like, he comes in like, all right. He goes, good news is I don't see enough separation here for this to be Liz Frank. He said, and I don't see, there's no fractures. He said, where you're feeling your pain, that's going to be, you've probably torn at least one, if not two tendons when you hyperextended, or ligaments, with tendons, ligaments, I think. When you hyperextended your, he goes, you must have hyperextended your foot and torn stuff. He goes, this is going to creep into your ankle as well and the side of your foot. And I can get you a walking boot. And all I can think is, oh, crap, I'm going to get killed by these. I mean, these, you got to understand now, this is true ball-breaking stuff. What happens with scouts is the same stuff that happens. Well, really, frankly, Dell, it's the same stuff that John says. But yeah. There's not a lot of, like, there's not a lot of PC or, like, hey, guys, are you okay? I just wanted to check on your foot. It's immediately tormenting.
Oh, no.
You go straight to tormenting. I'm like, God, I'm going to have to walk around on a boot. They're going to kill me.
Well, what was my first tweet or text to you was, you're totally undraftable now.
Yeah.
And wait a minute. I just.
And Raheel said embarrassing.
Yeah, that is embarrassing. That story is totally unbelievable. What did the guy with the purse that stole the purse look like?
Oh, white guy.
White guy.
With a mustache.
So that's the only. See, you would have said it was a black guy, I would have said, well, nope. This story is totally unbelievable because you ran him down. Okay. And tackled him. So
fat
that would have been
guy,
totally.
Fat,
so now, at least
mustache,
that
yeah.
story has some credibility. White
see,
guy.
You kind of set me up, Dell. I won't go fall into it, Dell.
All right, you, Gilbert would have, what would Gilbert have said, Del?
A black guy beat him up.
Black guy stole the purse
and beat him up.
That's and beat him up and took his bike.
He beat him up too? In the
well, if his foot's hurt, the black guy beat him up.
Well, yeah, this story is totally plausible now because it was a white guy, probably 350. Yeah, I would say he went 400 pounds. Okay, he stole
easily.
This woman's purse, this old woman's purse. And you were able to track him down from like 2 feet behind him. You were right behind this woman and we were able to track him down.
Yeah. Or tripped over curb.
Or tripped over curb. But I'm going to go with the purse story. Okay?
This is actually even more embarrassing, John. The guy, the doctor goes, well, he goes, instead of, he goes, and I said, man, I put it on. I start walking. I tried to put pressure on it. I was like, man, this still hurts a lot. This walking boot, I'm not sure this is helping. He goes, one of the other things we could do is get you one of those knee carts, knee scooters where you put your knee on it. I was like, listen, I can't do knee scooter at the combine. I mean, at the Senior Bowl. I'm telling you right now, it won't be good with walking boot. It's going to be unbearable if I go knee scooter. So I said, strap up the boot and let me get my pain meds and I'll get out of here. So I missed the first practice and I was like, man, I can't. I just wanted to get out there and see these guys. So I have to take this boot off whenever. It's a big pain in the ass whenever I drive to the – so I drove myself over, watched some of the practices, and then took my oxycodone, which is better known as Percocet. Molly Percocet.
So you're now driving around like Tiger Woods. So that's what you I mean,
yeah.
This is...
No. Yeah, and I felt a lot better. And I forgot that I had it because I was feeling better. And I forgot that I had taken my
Percocet.
And then I added a vodka tonic to it, which was interesting.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
no,
but
that's
just
the way I would have gone about that.
Yeah, no, it was just a smooth. Like,
well, I would have thrown down about it, at least a dozen Coors Lights with
but
my
I ended up,
Molly Percocet.
Yeah, I know. But I ended up staying out a little bit late. But,
you did?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just talking. I realized, oh, yeah, I better stop having drinks.
Well, and it's a good something. Thing since you were out late and you had some drinks and to wake up with an oxycodone. I think that's a great plan.
I actually, yeah, also knows Percocet, and I had that with my coffee. And so now I'm getting ready to go. But it was I did get to watch tape of both of the practices. And you mentioned Josh Allen. What is this supposed to be? I'm sorry, ESPN and your article, is this supposed to be any type of surprise at all? Oh, Josh Allen was having a hard time completing some passes. Wow, this is strange. I never expected that crazy turn of events. The Josh Allen, the guy's never completed over 58% of his passes, would struggle to find guys.
Yeah, he looked,
throw it to their hands.
According to Pat Forty, he looked really, really bad, overthrowing guys and just and yeah. You know, whether or not, and John Elway standing there watching him, and he's got the fifth pick, and the thought was, well, this is his kind of guy. Maybe not. The name Ryan Mallett came up in Pat Forty's column this morning, and that's never a good thing.
No, Charles Davis, during the broadcast, mentioned him as Christian Hackenberg.
Oh, good Lord.
And Daniel Jeremiah had to step in and stop him. But, I mean, the fact is, and I got a grade on him that's a 5.95. It's not bad. I mean, it could go down. I need to take a very strong look at some of these grades after watching some of these. But we'll let it play out. We'll let the whole thing. Because you got to remember now, you're working with brand new, you know, you're working with brand new wide receivers, brand new timing. There's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So a lot of guys get better.
Yeah, he said, and that's what he said too. But sailing a ball of 5 yards over a guy's head has
well, you know who you well, you know, you know who did that really badly, and I was on the radio with you talking about this back then was Jake Locker. The same thing Jake Locker used to do is airmail the ball over people's heads.
Well, and you,
and that's the same thing he was
and
doing.
And that's another name: Christian Hackenberg, Ryan Mallett, Jake Locker.
Jake Locker. Is
these
that
are
good?
Not
is that
names.
A good start?
That you want to be associated with just months before the draft. That's just something you want.
Baker, and of course Baker had some family issues, so he was unable to make it to the height, weight, hand-length weigh-in. They were unable to get those numbers on him because there was some family stuff that kept him. He had to go to Austin to do something, and then he made it in right in time for practice, but not for the weigh-in where people would see how tall he was and his hand size. So, and how much he weighs. So that was all the scouts were talking about. We've got a friend of ours, John, a mutual friend, who said, well, I won that bet that Baker would somehow get out of the measurements. And he did. I mean, eventually, you got to pay the piper and find everyone's going to find out you're sub 6 feet. I saw Baker's marketing rep last night, a 25-year-old guy wearing pink jacket and white hoodie. Different kind of look. Not exactly. Well, actually, he looked like a marketing rep. Those guys are, you know, the hip guys, the hipsters.
Marketing rep. Good Lord. How about get drafted and take one P in the NFL before you have a marketing guru on your side? All right, 713 ESPN 97.5. Lance is in Mobile. We'll be talking draft. We'll be talking all kinds of stuff.
Heroic efforts here.
Yeah, first you got to talk about Craig DeCerf.
Yeah, so... Look, the deal with Craig DeCerf, when he and I were talking about when I was coming back on the station, and he goes, Lance, I really, I said, and I've kept up with him over the years, but Craig said, you know, I really love it out here in Angleton. I said, I remember playing basketball out there when I was Lamar Consolidated. Well, it turns out it's about 40 minutes from the Houston area. It was like driving to Kingwood for me, which I do to go see in-laws and whatnot. If I told you that a 40-minute drive could save you $2,500, $3,200, is that something you'd be interested in? Because that's really what's happening. When you look at the deals that Craig DeCerf will make, and a lot of these car dealers, there's some restrictions in terms of what they can do with price, but there's also a lot of wiggle room with a lot of the vehicles. And Craig DeCerf is willing to say, look, the killer D's out here, the DeLuna brothers and Rick Drenner and Craig DeCerf, they understand that when you come in to Gulf Coast, Buick, GMC, Chevy, you want to get out there and get a deal done. You want to pay the best price. You want the colors and the selection and the interior and exterior offerings. You want it all to your liking, and that's what they're going to do for you. And if you go to LanceZCars.com, you'll go right to the inventory search. 284 vehicles for you to take a look at right now. Find exactly what it is that you want, whether it's a GMC Sierra pickup truck, a Chevy Silverado, a Yukon, a Buick Enclave, Chevy Cruze, which is a car with $10,000 off MSRP right now. All the vehicles that you're looking for are going to be there for you to choose from, and I promise you, the neighborhood feel of Gulf Coast is going to blow you away. They are going to get a deal done with you, even if they have to drive the vehicle into Houston for you. So if you're somebody who will do everything online and you do all your shopping online, you can get your car online today if you'd like, and they'll drive that sucker into you. That's how they take care of you, and, of course, great service as well when it's time to get your vehicle serviced. Go to the website, LanceZCars.com, so you can take a look at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC and tell them Lance Erline sent you by.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi. I'm looking for Molly. I've been searching everywhere and I can't seem to find Molly. 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 Molly.
This Molly, is The Bench Molly, on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance, along with Dell, here with you. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Well, before we get to the NBA stuff, whining and crying. It's typical NBA. Somebody's got to whine. Oh, my God. Is there anything? It's the whiniest freaking league ever. I've never seen anything like it.
I don't know that it's ever been. This is as good as it's ever been talent-wise. The talent level.
Individual
in the NBA right now,
talent, I would say that. But I would say team-wise, not even close.
No. Not even on super teams. I mean,
Golden State could play with any team ever.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I think you're right. But from a star standpoint and young star standpoint, the NBA is in phenomenal shape. And I think the league is a pretty good league right now. It's not always likable from the crybaby stuff, boy. And your stars are some of the biggest crybabies. But it's really,
oh my God, it's whine about it everything.
Just, I know. What did it's, you? What is? It's unbelievable.
But can you imagine? And I know this is a social media era, and I don't know how guys would have acted back in the day.
Maybe not great.
Well, maybe not. I don't know. I don't know how guys would have. But do you think you would have ever imagined in the midst of one of the worst runs he's ever had his team has ever had as a professional that a superstar would send a letter to his young self congratulating himself on 30,000 points?
Yeah, that was pretty strange.
Speaking of self-awareness,
you did it. You're so great.
Oh,
I can't believe all your hard work and success. Like, this is what I don't understand about LeBron. There's nothing that's internal for him. Like, he had to blow up teammates through social media and subtweeting to get a message across. You know, he tried to embarrass them. He didn't like the effort level or whatever it was last year. Or was it 2 years ago? That was last year. Was the Super Bowl in Houston last year or no?
Yeah.
That was last year. Yeah, it was last year. It was right around the same time he was bad-mouthing teammates in subtweets. And then later admitting, yeah, it was that. Why are you embarrassing people who are in your locker room instead of in front of your millions of followers and having people talk about it on PTI and around the horn and this show and that show instead of just going to them behind closed doors and saying, hey, I don't like this effort at all. This isn't working for me. I can't even fathom that you would go to a social media site to try to get a message out rather than just go getting the message out direct. I don't know how you're wired like that. And then this making sure that everyone knows you. Look, LeBron James is one of the hardest working dudes who's ever played the game ever. There's no question. Physically gifted, yes. But this guy has made his weaknesses and the strengths the same way MJ did. Shoots threes much better. He added a post-up game after not doing it for half of his career. He's a great rebounder, a defender. Like, LeBron is a tremendous worker. I don't, John, is this a secret that LeBron works hard?
Oh,
did
no.
Did he need to tell us that his success is because he's worked hard? We know this. You get congratulations. People slurp on you. Slurp, 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 slurp. Mr. LeBron, can you hand me that towel? Because I'm almost done. You get that every day from every social media site. I've never seen more media, quote-unquote media people. It's really more new media. Literally jock, intentionally jock a guy so hard and become angry if you dare to say something like, there were media members openly, why would Kyrie leave? This just doesn't make any sense. Why would he leave? Like, what are you talking about? Because Kyrie's a grown-ass man with nuts and he wants to let him drop somewhere else? What are y'all talking about? Why would a grown-ass man leave somewhere? Because he wanted to.
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't want to play with LeBron anymore.
Yeah, maybe he wanted to go prove he can win on his own. Maybe, and he didn't want to be under LeBron's head. Maybe.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Or maybe he didn't like the way LeBron was handling the business with Kevin Love and all that stuff that went down last year. I mean, or maybe he just wanted to leave. Maybe he didn't like, who knows why.
But he wanted to run his own show and be an alpha on his own team like everybody used to always want to do.
But in the midst, I can't even imagine. You know, I can't imagine any guy who has won, and he's won. LeBron has won, obviously, and done great things, 3 and 4 in NBA Finals. And he's a great player, and he probably ends up as the all-time leading scorer. He's got a shot at it anyway. He'll pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But I don't get these. They have to have all of the attention and look at me kind of thing. I mean, stop. As if you don't get enough love as LeBron James.
This is what I don't understand. And I can't even go to Dell for Dell's perspective because Dell's not a guy who puts everything on social. Like, I just don't understand why some of these guys, and I'm not even talking about, I'm just talking about my son. I'm talking about why do y'all put every, like, it's one thing to put, doing this, but, like, why do y'all put personal business? Like, it's everything goes on social media. You have to, and there's a need for, hey, please address this. Please address this. Look at me. Retweet, like, please like. Please like this. Please like that I'm mad at my roommates or whatever. Like, I don't know why y'all put all the business out there. Why? I don't get any of that. You're right, John. The need for LeBron to have people say congratulations to him or whatever. Dude. You're going to go down as one of the greatest of all time in sports.
Yeah, the Kevin Love has a burner account that, I mean, it's just
Durant.
I mean, it's, what is it called?
Kevin Durant.
What did I say?
Kevin Love.
Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I was like, oh, you Love's got a Kevin burner Love too, John?
No, Kevin Durant has, really? The best player in that just won the championship and all?
That's
And you have to defend yourself on Twitter with using an alias? Are you kidding me?
It was just some guys on Twitter, like with 30 followers. He's arguing with his fake account. Let that sink in. And oh, by the way, there's something new with Kevin Durant crying. If he wasn't crying about Clint Capella making a comment, he said the referee was searching for me before his second half ejection, and people were out to get him. Well, the first half I was dribbling up the right side, and I made a left to right cross, and he said I carried. I kind of let that go. I asked him where he got that carry from. He said, I froze a defender, and I said, that's what the crossover's for, and that's why I do it, to freeze my defender. And he tried to make a bunch of excuses, and I told him he was wrong. And he went into halftime, probably with an attitude. So the second half, his whole thing is like, he's trying to get me. And so immediately he went to, and he even, it says in this article probably, that he went in and got onto some burner accounts and started immediately tweeting at NBA ref. At NBA ref, he started adding them and saying, you're doing a terrible job. KD was the reason that he's the one who actually carried Russell Westbrook. He started writing out with his burner account to the referee.
Look, don't you think you always need to let people know how great you are? And I imagine that LeBron, he was playing this song while he was writing out his Instagram post to himself.
Me and Post Malone just
You got to get a lot of shuns. You can rhyme with a lot of shuns.
Yeah, you can do a lot of those.
Dedication, congratulations.
Looking for a reason to play Post Malone.
No, LeBron had to have been playing this song.
That's
it. Had to have inspired him to write to himself.
That's right, to myself. I want to congratulate myself.
Didn't LeBron also create? This might be. I may have just made this up as a radio thing before, but I feel like wasn't. What's I'm coming home? Who sings that, Dell? What's the girl's name?
Skylar Gray.
Skylar Gray. Play that for if you can pull that up. Play that because he had I'm coming home and he wrote the newspaper article where he had the ad where he had to tell Cleveland he was coming home to them. And I want to say there was a video that he had created as well, but maybe he didn't. But it makes the story better if he actually did, where he wrote a letter like, guys. It's been a long time here in Miami. Been winning a bunch of championships while y'all got that roster right with first-round picks like Kyrie Irving. And now that Chris Bosh has damn near a heart attack, and Dwayne Wade's getting old AF, it's time for me to go latch up with a really good young player and probably try to bring Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love in as well and then complain that the roster's not deep enough.
Yeah.
I'm coming home.
I got to get rid of Andrew Wiggins, but I think we're going to be good.
You know, I'm going to get rid of the number one overall pick in Andrew Wiggins and then hate the guy I replaced him with for his entire tenure.
Right.
I'm going to destroy Kevin Love, even though I asked for him to come
right,
here.
Right.
No. And
Tristan Thompson. Forget about it.
Yeah.
I'm coming home.
Got that.
I'm
he
coming
got
home.
The Kardashian on him. But, yeah, I'm coming home.
Yep.
LeBron, and then he's like, I'm about to go to a team like Philly with better young players and no Kevin Love. Here it is. Just playing that. Hey, Lakers. Well, wait a minute. Now I'm scratching them off. Too many losses. No, thanks.
And a LeVar.
We got to pick a player from each team that LeBron will destroy and subtweet. Like,
yeah.
If he goes to Philly, I got to imagine Saric will get destroyed.
Yeah.
He will destroy Saric.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan Anderson might as well just quit.
Oh, no. Ryan Anderson can't have any of that.
Poor man's Kevin Love. Super poor man's Kevin Love.
No. Good Lord. Poor man's. He's gutter Kevin Love.
Yeah, poor man. It's homeless man Kevin Love.
Gutter Kevin Love is a little aggressive.
Gutter has some.
I had 13 rebounds.
Gutter
the other
has
day.
Different meanings depending on where you are in the country. But homeless man Kevin Love, I buy.
Homeless Kevin Love?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah,
730 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776. Come hang with us.
Come on, it's easy to be puff, but it's harder to be Sean. What if my twins ask me why I ain't married anymore?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, if you missed the beginning of the show, there's nothing I can do for you if you want to know the truth. Apparently, here's the story that, I don't know, Jackie and Clint, I don't listen to the same show, I think, that we're doing. I don't know. I think they might be listening to another radio show. Jackie said, dude, you catching this on J&L? Apparently Lance fought off a mugger, saved an old lady, hurt himself pretty bad, even had some concerns about losing a foot. LZ's a hero.
Yeah.
And then Clint said, wait, I thought he was the one stealing the purse and some fat guy sat on him. No. That's not it.
No.
And so all these stories. And then DJ Lockdown, did you see this? Oh, he didn't put you. He didn't at you. I'll retweet it. But it's some girl who was walking down a sidewalk and hit a hole and fell on her face. And that was you.
That actually may have been
that was
more
that
accurate.
Was exactly. Look, dude.
GIF.
Look at my Twitter feed. I just retweeted it. But then Death by Sexy. This is... He's got a... You know that girl...
No. He's always inappropriate.
It was... It's really, really, really inappropriate. Yeah. That girl who has one good leg and then the other leg, and she's got the foot that's the wrong way.
No.
Half a leg.
No.
And then she said, is this
Lance? That's not okay.
That is not. That's not inappropriate,
okay.
Death by Sexy.
That is not okay.
There's this. Next year when he comes to Rockets, you guys will have nothing but great things to say about LBJ. Nah.
Oh, no. You know what? I mean, if you look. So, LeBron James is not going anywhere where he can't win a championship immediately. I think he's obsessed with the ring thing and passing Jordan and all that. So, you know, if he's coming home and Cleveland's home, you would think he'd stay there. But he's going to jet as fast as he can to get to a place that gives him a better chance to win. And L.A. had been the talk, and they've got some good young talent. But, you know, they're not playing very well right now. And you still have to beat the Warriors in the West for sure, and the Rockets, and, you know, usually the Spurs. So I'm not sure that's going to be. I don't think he would go to. I think he'd love to go to Philadelphia. I don't think Philadelphia would give away some of their young players for him. Maybe they would. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I'm sure he'd love to go to the Celtics. That would give him a great chance to win. But then there's the whole Kyrie thing. So if you start doing the math, the guys who might make the most sense are the Rockets. If this is all about just trying to chase a title, you got a lot of pieces in place. You got a Ryan Anderson contract that you could move to help add LeBron James, although I'm not sure what that does for the Cavs. But and I'm not sure if the Rockets have any first-rounders left because Daryl uses them as future commodities to get deals done. But don't you guys think that this actually would make sense for what LeBron wants to do and who he might want to play with?
Yeah, no. Except for the fact that you get Golden State before the finals.
Yeah,
that's the only thing about it. And
it's your best chance to beat Golden State too, because you got to beat Golden State one way or another. You got to beat Golden State. Here's my thing though: Dwayne Wade did a good job of Dwayne and LeBron both did a good job of, you know, kind of pulling back a little bit. And then Chris Bosh is he's just more of a beta type player. He doesn't need to be the alpha. He just finds his role. Chris Paul is not a finder role type guy. He's a good teammate, but he's not really a, hey, I'll just sit back. Like, this could turn into more of a Charles Barkley and Clyde Drexler type of thing with Dream. But LeBron, all those guys will share the ball. LeBron, Chris Paul, James Harden. But those are some big, big personalities. And then you've got Team Harden and Team LeBron, the hangers, you know, the side guys. I don't know, man. I'm just telling you, from a basketball standpoint, sounds like it'd be fantastic. And it might win Houston the title.
I think it'd work. And I think you're right. I think it'd be his best chance if he came here and did all of that. But he's still, listen, would we start kissing his ass because he's LeBron and he's here? And no. I totally disagree with that. We're not kissing James Harden's ass. We're not, you know what, just because they're great basketball players. If they do stuff like sending themselves messages, Instagram messages, of their 18-year-old self, then we're going to go, but stop, all right? Stop already, because that's ridiculous. But would I like to see LeBron here and the Rockets get a chance to win a championship? Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, the dude's a phenomenal basketball player. There's no way.
He does around. All these LeBron things.
He just does things that are just weak as ice water. But he is a tremendous basketball player. And, you know, frankly, I'd love to see him playing basketball here. It would be great to watch LeBron James play basketball in this city, be able to get to games and things like that. But it really doesn't change the fact that he's, you know, we'd still clown him for some stuff. Like, oh, we wouldn't?
Oh, yeah.
What, are you just listening to the show?
No.
And Dell's just as snarky as we are.
Oh, he's worse. All right, we don't have enough time in this segment, but there's a pretty good thing here about, and we got plenty of time to talk about the Super Bowl, but there is a 9 reasons why the Philadelphia Eagles can beat the New England Patriots, and see what you guys think about it. There is also this: what's Bill Belichick worth? And I don't know, is it Belichick or is it Brady? And I know it's a combination of both. I know that. I get that. I had an argument with a guy who, when the Texans played, when they had Jacoby Brissett as their quarterback, or Brissett, whatever, as their quarterback, and they beat the Texans 27-0. I mean, I just had an argument with a guy a few days earlier, and oh my God, was he blowing me up? And then it was just so I had to tell him shut the STFU because I can't take you anymore. I'm trying to watch a football game here, and you're and then the next week they go and lose. So it's all Bill Belichick. I'm of the opinion that it's Brady, and here's an article that's it's by Pro Football Talk that talks about how much no one knows how much Belichick makes. If it's about $12 million, then he's about getting paid about what half of what he's worth, because what has Belichick meant to that organization? If you had a chance to get Derek Carr or Bill Belichick, which one would you want?
Bill Belichick. Derek Carr or Bill Belichick?
Yeah. Now, this year's Derek Carr notwithstanding, I mean, if it's...
Yeah, you know, it's kind of tainted.
Yeah, it is tainted right now.
All right, well, let me ask you this. Carson Wentz or Bill Belichick?
Okay, I'm going to take Carson Wentz.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to take Carson Wentz because you've got to have that franchise quarterback. This says that if Belichick didn't have Brady, he'd find another guy who would play nearly as well as Tom Brady. And I call BS.
He found Garoppolo.
He did find Garoppolo, but did Garoppolo play as nearly as well as Tom Brady?
We only saw him.
Well, wait a minute. Is Garoppolo now? Garoppolo is great because he was with Bill Belichick, or Garoppolo is great?
Well, the point is, if Garoppolo is great, then he found another guy.
Well, but he did find another guy. Granted, he has done an unbelievable job to find a Tom Brady in the sixth round, to find a Garoppolo in the second round. But is it Bill Belichick, or is it the guy? Because he goes to San Francisco and wins five straight games. Is that Bill Belichick?
Well, the question is, is Bill Belichick capable of finding maybe not the next Tom Brady, another Tom Brady, but another franchise-type quarterback? And for what we know of Garoppolo, apparently he is capable of finding another guy.
He also found Ryan Mallett. He also found Brian Hoyer.
He never played or decided to back Ryan Mallett.
Well, he drafted Tom Brady in the sixth, so and that turned out okay.
Yeah, but the one guy he gave a high draft pick to in terms of quarterback was Jimmy Garoppolo.
But it's not a guarantee that he's going to go and find a guy that's going to wait a minute. And listen, nearly as well as Tom Brady. What is nearly as well as Tom Brady? Hall of Fame?
Well, I don't know what it is. I would say a legit franchise quarterback, and that's what all you can ask for. You can't ask for a guy to find the best of all time or nearly the best of all time.
Okay, and if you find a guy that's nearly as good as Tom Brady, are you 5-2 in the Super Bowls? Are you even at all those Super Bowls with what Tom Brady has done? For example, like last week when we said, "Uh-oh, Tom Brady has the football." With 4 minutes to play and down by three, guess what's going to happen? Are you sure that a guy that's playing nearly as well as Tom Brady can handle that situation Tom Brady?
Well, I don't think the Patriots are built like most teams who go play for Super Bowls. Are there how many guys on that offensive side of the ball are you like, yeah, I want that guy on my team? They're great because of Brady.
That's exactly.
He would have to probably build a different way.
Well, that's exactly my point. And not only that, but how much does Bill Belichick have to do with the offense anyway? He's been a defensive guy. Do you ever see him calling plays? Everybody's given him credit for Tom Brady. What has he done for Tom Brady? He's a defensive guy. He doesn't call plays.
You've talked about how Mike Vrabel may not be a great defensive coordinator.
He's a CEO.
Maybe what he's done for Tom Brady is created an organization where Tom Brady can thrive in. And if you want, maybe he's just the best CEO ever.
That's fair, John. That's an intangible argument, though, because it's hard to put a – I don't know. Bill Belichick knows how to run a team. He clearly knows how to run a team. He clearly is a CEO. I don't know how much credit you give him for Tom Brady. I mean, Tom Brady wasn't Tom Brady before he got there, was he? Maybe, I guess he was. I don't know.
He couldn't solidify himself in Michigan. Maybe that's a Lloyd Carr problem or whatever, but he had to go back and forth.
Oh, that was a Lloyd Carr problem because he had to keep on putting him in. But the fact of the matter, Tom Brady knew, because after he was drafted, he told Robert Kraft, "I'm the best draft pick you ever made."
Well, so did Malcolm Brown.
Malcolm Brown ain't Tom Brady.
Well, multiple, but people guys say that all the time. But congratulations for Tom Brady for fulfilling that promise. But Malcolm Brown said that a couple years ago. I think you have a CEO who built an organization. Would Tom Brady have thrived, let's say, in Cleveland?
Yes.
Why?
Yes, because he's Tom Brady.
Eh.
Yeah.
I feel like it's understated to be able to a guy who builds a great organization. That's what Belichick has done.
Take everybody that Tom Brady has played with except Gronk and Randy Moss. And you telling me that those guys couldn't be in Cleveland?
Could Tom Brady have thrived in a place that didn't provide the type of structure and continuity that New England did?
See, I think Dell's got a point here, and it's one that is impossible to prove, though. Like, it's always easy, just Tom Brady's Tom Brady, because I feel like that's the case, too, Tom Brady's Tom Brady. But I do think it's fair that Tom Brady, they've bent over backwards to make sure he's in the perfect kind of system for him, which is shotgun and all that. But then again, Dell, he made Charlie Weiss a bunch of money. He's gotten Josh McDaniels 2 head coaching jobs once he gets hired by the Colts. Like, that guy got – Who was the wide receiver that went to Seattle, got a bunch of money, and became a non-player? Tom Brady has made people a lot of money.
Are you kidding? I mean, it can be both, though. It's guy after guy after guy that he just makes spectacular. And we'll get some. We got some calls in here about this. Let's take a break. 747 ESPN 97.5. We'll continue this on the other side.
ESPN 97.5.
That's dope. Late nights come from long days doing all the right things.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
That's a pretty good point. We got a couple of callers that are probably pretty good arguments here. And actually, might speak to exactly what Dell was talking about with the Browns. First, Sam, though, he wants to get in here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Sam, how are you? Sam, you there?
Yeah.
How are you?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
So we have a record of Belichick without Brady, but we don't have a record of Brady without Belichick. Anyone got any thoughts on what Belichick did to make Matt Castle into a superstar and then how he bombed out afterwards?
Well, superstar is a bit heavy, seeing as how they didn't make the playoffs that year.
Yeah, but it's still 11.
All right, but
wasn't there Randy Moss on that?
They won
roster?
Like 13 games.
No, they won 11. They won 10. They were 10-5.
All right.
No, they were 11.
No, they're 11-5.
11-5.
Yeah, they lost the tiebreaker to Miami that year.
Yeah, they lost the tiebreaker. They didn't even make the playoffs. So that's exactly my point. Yeah, you guys can. There's Tom Brady, and then there's everybody else. Tom Brady would put you over the top and makes you a super team. Makes you 5-2. Makes you 8 straight AFC championship games. And then there's everybody else.
Well, what about the point that it's Matt Castle? It wasn't. It was
okay. 21 touchdowns and 11 interceptions.
That's one year. It's just like solid. It's just like the Jacoby Brissett argument. Oh, look, a rookie quarterback, and he beats the Texans 27-0 in week 3 of the season without Tom Brady. Look at that, unbelievable! And then they lose the next week.
It was a third string quarterback.
Yeah. Okay. So whatever.
Let's go through Matt Castle's numbers. By the way, 21 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. Okay. 7.2 yards per attempt. His greatest total ever. That he ever had, sacked 47 times.
Led the league.
Which, by the way, the next year he got sacked 42 in Kansas City as a starter. But if I remember correctly, a guy who was also on that team was one magical Randy Moss, who made life a whole lot easier for everyone. So everyone defaults, my brother did it on text too, to the Matt Castle argument.
No.
But I think, you know, Randy Moss had a lot to do with that too. Not to take anything away from Castle, but we saw who Castle was. He's just a dude. That's all.
Right. And here's the thing is that you can make the argument. Well, okay, 21-11, and they won 11 games. That speaks even more to the greatness of a Bill Belichick. You could make that argument as well.
21-11. Okay. Well, then how great is Bill? Then I don't want to hear any complaint about Bill O'Brien because look what he did with Brian Hoyer. So Bill O'Brien is actually a better coach than Bill Belichick because he did more with the backup quarterback.
Thank you. Good night. Let's get David.
Won the AFC South 2 years in a row.
Let's get David.
And they won. And, yeah, I'm sorry. But, John, did they win the division that year?
Yeah, they won the AFC South. That's right.
Belichick less than O'Brien.
Yeah, and made the playoffs while Bill Belichick couldn't make the playoffs with a greater quarterback in Matt Castle.
Even though he won more games that year.
That doesn't matter. David is here on ESPN 97.5.
Those games didn't count, Dale.
Hey, David. Dale, you going to put them up?
And you, hey, how's it going, fellas?
Good.
So first off, you can't take anything away from Brady. Brady's great, and he's out of the equation. The question is, with Belichick, what he does well is, when he faces another team, by taking away their best player, it gives him a high percentage chance to win. With his own team, he has diversification within the wide receivers and the running backs. So he just executes. And what he does is they don't make any mental mistakes. They don't fumble in the end zone to give the other team the ball. He's really, really good at that side of it. If you were to put him in, let's just say in the dream scenario, Brady retired and Belichick decides to move on. If he was to go to Cleveland with all those draft picks and everything, let's say he got $25 million a year because Chucky got 15. So he goes and gets $25 million, gets equity of the team. He will turn Cleveland into a winner instantly within 5 years.
Instantly within 5 years. But here's another. Okay, but he had his chance in Cleveland. He made one playoff run. And you know what? They without a Brady, he was an average coach.
But then that was also with, but I mean,
but what? But what?
With, well, wasn't that the year where he won 10 games and Cleveland had a lot of expectations the next year. Now is the year Modell said we're going to Baltimore.
Yeah, they kind of remember apart. that was a pretty afflicted situation there.
Granted, but he's such a great coach. He can overcome Art Modell. Okay. No. What? So we stop playing because we're gonna move.
It's not about stop playing, but did you watch the documentary? That whole city turned against that team. They were done.
Yeah, it was a really bad situation. It's kind of like the Oilers situation, but Bill Belichick also found. You know what? Do we give him credit for finding all this talent? Like, look at the guys on that staff that you know from the documentary. There's so many guys who ended up becoming successful. You know, well. Semi-successful guys. I guess some of them not as much, like Mangini. I don't know. The argument, this is an unwinnable argument because there is nothing to say against Tom Brady because Tom Brady has always won. So what can you possibly say? But he's done it always with Bill Belichick. I mean, I don't, what are we even doing here? You're going to go round and round and you always have the same Belichick and Cleveland argument and then you have the Matt Castle argument. Those are the two arguments when really both of these guys have been careers have been made by each other.
Right. No, right? I agree. I agree.
Some Randy Moss thrown some white guy wide receivers.
Yeah. He's helped. And there's no question. The two of them together has been the greatest combination of coach and player ever. Maybe.
It's not even remotely close.
Maybe in any sport. All right, Lanny wants to talk. Lanny wants to get in here, Lance, and he wants
to
talk.
Well, that's my man from Bill Advisor. So I was telling, some of the Cleveland Browns guys yesterday, as a matter of fact, Lanny, about Bill Advisor, because this is what people don't realize. We're going to talk about the big savings. You're not just a Houston company. You can work with, if people who are listening have friends and family members in other cities, you guys can work with them too, can't you?
Oh, absolutely. We have customers right now in all the lower 48 states, haven't jumped into Alaska and Hawaii at this point, but kind of don't need to. There's plenty of people down here that need saving.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's talk about some of those savings now. What's the big number you're going to fire at me today? Because I was blown away by the over 3,000 you had a couple of weeks ago. What's our big numbers on savings?
All right, so our big three, someone almost $4,000 in savings on a 2-year energy contract. Talk about a massive amount of savings. Someone's just overpaying, and so many people do that. You get stuck in a rate, it's just what you pay. And one gentleman saved nearly $4,000. Another one, Jared from Bentonville, Arkansas. You talk about going out of state. Nearly $2,300 on his cell phone and energy bill. And then Steve from Pasadena, almost $2,200 on his energy bill over the next year. But, man, you put it all together. We did the math. We saved customers over $1 million in 2017. It's going to be many times more than that this year.
Yeah, it really truly is, guys. There's really no strings attached. You pay one low monthly fee, and you've got somebody on your account who's always looking over your bills. And when your bill changes, they can go in and start to renegotiate or find better, or when there's better offers than what you have, Bill Advisor goes in and tries to get you those offers. And that's, in the first place, what drove me away from a couple of the companies is, I've been with you forever. Why don't you treat me like you treat new customers? And that's what Bill Advisor will do. It's like you're getting treated like a new customer every single time. Text BILLS to 313131. That's BILLS to 313131. Or go to the website for more information at BillAdvisor.com. Lanny, we appreciate you.
Lance, take care, bud.
Where they from? We were playing PlayStation. Why you standing there? Say song. Girl, say song. No, this ain't a vacation. This is my
ESPN 97.5.